you know, this is a very confusing subject because there's so many different opinions, there's so many different ideas, and you know, it's a bit of a misnomer to call it a community because there's a lot of conflict involved inside of it. So it's kind of like different camps, really. But I felt incredibly inspired to just start doing what I'm doing now, and that's why I can't really look at my own experiences as malevolent. A lot of people have, you know, said to me, "Oh, you know, you've been manipulated, or it's a trickster, and it tries to fool you." Well, it's fooled me into, you know, talking to all of you guys. And I've had so many people email me over the years who have said, thank you, the way that you've explained it, I really resonate with that. So, you know, for me, it's kind of like, well, if they've manipulated me, they've manipulated me into a very positive place, you know. And so that's good by me. That's fine by me. But I've changed my opinion on a lot of it. I mean, like, you know, when I first got into this subject, I was like, oh, it's aliens from another planet. Now, I'm not discounting that possibility that exists, but I actually think that this is, at least with the orb phenomena, I think we're dealing with higher dimensional thresholds and topologies, and that we're just getting a glimpse. You know, I was very fortunate. This is kind of cutting into a further story, but I was very fortunate to fly out to Florida and sit down with Oak Shannon, who's the former special projects manager for Los Alamos National Labs, and a pretty key component in the Admiral Wilson leaks, for anyone who's familiar with the Admiral Wilson leak story. And I'll talk a little bit more about that for anyone who doesn't know. But he, as a Los Alamos National Lab guy, was like, well, you know, our working group, we basically came to the conclusion this is higher dimensional objects coming into a lower dimensional plane. So you're only seeing a slice. You're seeing a slice of something that's far more complex and can't really be perceived on our reality. So our brain has to fill in the gaps, you know. So what I got was orbs, but people have experienced all sorts of phenomena. And Jacques Vallée and Carl Jung and these ideas of it being in some way like an amorphous, responsive evolutionary driver, you know. Terence McKenna talked about this as well. He said that the UFOs are almost like a psychedelic. When you have an experience with these things, it's so novel, it actually changes the way that you perceive reality, and that can change your own cognitive function, change the way that you think, the way that you speak, the way that you act. And that certainly happened to me. So I went into this without any background in ufology. And I've arrived at a point now where I truly think that the most important element of this is our own conscious development as humans. And I think that there is an actual component of this that's trying to raise our consciousness, trying to teach us. What I felt from those experiences was it was like a gradual baby steps learning program. Here's some things that kind of, you know, they're suitable for your mind. Here's some satellite-looking objects, but a few more than you're used to. Just a little elevation from what you're used to. Right now, flashes. Not seen those before, have you? Now the orange orbs. And I do think it was a progression. Kind of wish that I'd really kept with it at that time, but like I said, like suddenly you get people who are claiming to be in the intelligence community and they're warning you, and you know, I've got no experience dealing with spooks and spies, and suddenly these guys are saying these things. You got to start, you know, taking it seriously. So it took me off that path for a bit, and I started engaging a lot more with like the modern 2017 onwards disclosure movement, you know, New York Times, Lou Grush, Chris, Gary, all of these guys, right? We all know these people now. I've been very fortunate to be somehow just fell into some interesting connections and networks, right? And it's been a transformative experience. And again, this is why I think that this is about our own conscious development, is that it can act as a catalyst for your own evolution in terms of what you're doing, growing your spirit, growing who you are, growing your knowledge base. But it remains a mystery. You know, it remains an amorphous mystery. And I'm not sure if we're ever going to get satisfactory answers from governmental channels on this. I've got a lot of optimism in terms of where we're going in the future, in terms of realizing more profound elements of reality as we dig deeper into the quantum levels. We're now developing AI computation that will one day, not in the very distant future, be coupled with AI systems, quantum computer systems, superconduction. And when we get to that point, which we're getting close to, I really think we're going to thread the needle into dimensional realities that we didn't think were real. And the consciousness side of this, to me, is also represented in meditation, psychedelics, near-death experiences, transcendental experiences, this UFO phenomena, even the flying saucers and the greys, they turn up in all of these different spaces. So what does that say? Is it a physical phenomena or a material phenomena, or is it actually able to transcend through different elements of reality that we actually don't believe are real, like the dream state or the astral realm or the psychedelic realm? You know, are these real? Well, these creatures, entities, objects seem to be able to traverse through our material plane and meet us on these other planes. This seems to be a material and immaterial element at the same time. And that's actually why I called my YouTube channel Project Unity, because I believe in a symbiosis between spirit and science. I think these are just two different ways of observing the same state of play. And we're getting closer to that. It hasn't actually been that long that we've been shut off in this way, this Newtonian reductionist model that we've entered into since the Age of Enlightenment, that everything's just dead matter bouncing around. Yeah, it's very enlightened. But that's what they called it. You know, we've moved into the, we've got rid of the shamanistic. We've got rid of this, you know, silly stuff from the past. Now we're just going to deal with basic science. But there's massive holes in that science. And that's being shown even more now as we're developing these models into, you know, simulation theory and getting into these deeper states of understanding how the quantum level responds to your own consciousness. I mean, look at the double slit experiment. For anyone who doesn't know about the double slit experiment, this is a fascinating, weird mind bender for these Newtonian scientists. I think it was in the 1970s when they first did that. But it's been kind of, you know, progressed on from there, and it still remains a bit of a mystery that when a electron or a photon is observed, it collapses into a particle. When it's not observed, it becomes a wave. Now, there's a few people who would dismiss that, and they say, oh, it's the act of measuring. It's the act of measuring that actually collapses the photon or the electron down into a particle. But there's no measuring without consciousness. Without a human being, without a conscious entity to measure, there's no concept of measuring. So it still comes back to there is a conscious observer, and reality is responding to that conscious observer. So what does that say? It says that there is, what, maybe a dynamic within reality, a coherence that understands that we're right there and collapses down into this particle function. What does that say about all of this? Solid reality. It's not so solid. You know, most of the scientists now in physics, like the consensus is becoming, this is a simulation. It's a holographic simulation of some form. You know, you think of like a bike wheel on a bicycle. And you put your hand through that. You spin it really fast. Boom, your hand just bounces right off it. Now, it's not solid, is it? It's still got the gaps. But it's spinning so fast that you can't even get through that. So it's an impenetrable barrier. Now, the atoms and the, you know, the protons and the neutrons, they are spinning so fast. Everything is moving so quickly that it feels solid, but it's not. We actually know that now. It's not. It's energy. It's just lattices of energy oscillating at such incredible speeds that it's creating this consensus reality. I think that these UFOs don't have to abide by that rule. Whatever they actually are, they seem to kind of be above those levels of the game, of the laws, of the rules, right? They can bend it. They can cheat it. And I think that might be their purpose. Again, going back to this evolutionary driver, that they're actually almost like a carrot on a stick, always slightly ahead of us. And it seems to push people to want to try and replicate it. I mean, look at our governments, right? You know, they're interested in replicating it. Maybe they already have. But it's interesting to me that it seems to follow us through time. Throughout all of history, we've had phenomena. Throughout all of history, we've had UFOs, different forms, different shapes. And they seem to change and shift as we progress. And that, to me, is, again, I would invoke Carl Jung's idea of this collective overmind, that potentially some of this stuff is just stimuli for our species. Now, who's to say that that's not necessarily real? Because, again, the material plane, I think, is just one little slice, right? Just one little line we're traversing. But it's not necessarily the only line. This is really where I find the most inspiration when it comes to the UFO subject. It's trying to understand this intrinsic connection, this entanglement between human consciousness and this other. And why does it turn up when you're in these really powerful states, profound states, you know, states of love and appreciation. You know, people laugh that off. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's hippie woo-woo stuff. It's like, yeah, but I think we can all agree that love is actually the most important thing in all our lives, right? What's the point if you don't have some love? So I think that this is actually a teaching mechanism to try and get us to evolve. And I think we need that. Yeah? Yeah, I think we're at a point in the human story where our collective empathy is degrading. And it's not our fault so much as the society that we're all having to participate in. It's not a society that encourages us to explore the different corridors of perception. In fact, we're very locked off, sometimes to the point of, you know, it being a legal problem that you're exploring your own consciousness. Now, again, invoking Graham Hancock, he said this before, you know, the war on drugs is just the war on consciousness. Why do you have the right to tell me how to experience my own consciousness? So the fact that we're restricted by that system, you know, you don't have to invoke the Illuminati or anything, you know, sinister and kind of ambiguous. You can look at it as just there is a way society is established, and the way that you're thinking isn't really going to work in this society. We want worker bees. We want people to participate, be cogs in the wheel. It all works as a, you know, global economy. If you're sitting there trying to summon orbs and you're in an astral realm all the time, you're not participating. So they're trying to reduce that. They definitely do not want us to be in a state of open bliss with reality and to open our perception to these different ideas. And that's what kind of worries me a little bit about the way that this is being discussed by like the US government, for example. You know, I don't necessarily, there's a lot of people that would kind of say, oh, it's like Project Bluebeam, they're generating a threat narrative, there's going to be maybe an alien invasion and it's all false flag and it's a big psyop. And I mean, who knows, maybe that's right, but I definitely have noticed a clear narrative that is about this being a national security threat. You know, it's a threat to our sovereign airspace, a threat to our sensitive classified sites. And I worry about that, because I think that that's a perspective that potentially could lead to us actually manifesting negative outcomes, especially if this is a responsivity of consciousness, and if everyone collectively is fearing an other, fearing the anomalous. Well, I don't know, but it just worries me. And I think that there are other sides to this story that should be told.